Hi guys, welcome back to Zero TV. I'm Lord Takpata, your usual host. So we are continuing our conversation with Nana Kwasi Diallo today. You know, last week, as you know, listened to our conversation, we have a lot to share. We have a lot to talk about, and I thought I should bring her back so that we can actually continue on what she's now doing. You know, the transition from what she was doing now with her business and what's happening and the whole thing connecting. Welcome back, Nana. Thank you so much for coming back and creating time for us.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lorato, for having me. I usually say this, it's always such an honor and a privilege to share your story.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us has a story, and it's our stories that I think sometimes we think as I share my story, I'm helping someone, but sometimes it's really for you as well.
So true.
So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. So true. Actually, sometimes it is for you where you, you know, someone actually said the same things like, oh man, sometimes I think we really underestimate what we've been through and all what we've done. And then when you talk about it, you're like, geez, I did all this?
That's true. And it's exactly that.
Yeah.
Like you look back and you realize, wow, that, okay. Yeah. So such a great honor for me.
Yeah. So last week, you know, when we talked about your journey, you know, being given away to your parents, being given away to your aunt, you know, and the dynamics of it, as well as business, you know, and how your aha moment came during your mom's funeral, you know, how it came to you and like, I need to do better with my life. And you knew exactly what to do and you did it, you know, from ministry and to now opening your business. Kinda opening your business doesn't necessarily mean it's not your ministry. You know, I always say kinda ministry doesn't necessarily mean church. It, you know, it could be the work I'm doing. It could be the financial literacy work I'm doing. It's my ministry. It's my it's my focus of work. You know, whoever is in corporate, you know, they're doing marketing or accounting, that's their ministry, you know, and how they're changing lives in that area. So, you know, today I wanted us to now focus on your business and basically what are you doing now with your business? What's happening? You've already shared how business is last week, but now I want us to really talk about you know, what is happening in your business now. But first, can I just ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing?
How am I?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, if I think about it right now, in terms of how I'm doing, it takes me to how I'm feeling emotionally and all. I was texting a friend of mine this morning and just saying, "Ooh, you know, it's crazy. Life is so fragile."
Yeah.
I learned of someone who has passed on. And a friend of mine was saying, you know, this is someone who woke up on Sunday with a plan for Monday. And so I think the thing has just, it's weighing a bit down on me. And I think in introspection, I was thinking about it, say, yo, if I die now, and I said, I had a conversation with my husband actually yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, so I was reading someone's obituary, funny enough. Okay.
Yeah, because I asked you the same question last week.
Yeah.
Remember?
I was saying to him, if I die, please make a poem out of it. And he was saying to me, you won't be here, so it actually won't matter what I write. So actually what I'm saying with that is, how am I doing? I think I'm in such an introspective space.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, and just been thinking of just how amazing life is, how beautiful it is, and how sometimes we think we're here forever.
Yes.
And we don't even know. So yeah, but other than that, I am great.
I'm doing
very, very well.
Yeah. What did you have for breakfast?
I actually just had coffee.
Just had coffee. You haven't had breakfast yet?
I haven't had breakfast yet.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So now, Nana, your business, Authentic Lifestyle, right? What are you doing at Authentic Lifestyle right now? Because I know that your mission was to change lives. You know, your mission was counseling. And I remember that you saying that. And the person that actually made you know what the next step to take, that, you know, I guess I have to give you a bit of perspective, that we spoke about Nana leaving the church, particular church, for her to be able to step into her calling, you know, into her next calling, basically her next step of the calling, and the importance of having to leave something behind for you to be able to get into your next role in your life. And how is that role going, and what are you doing right now?
So Authentic Lifestyle is a business or a platform that has been established to, I usually say this, and it really is what we stand for: support, empowerment, but really to help people personally develop in their lives. So we support people in that. We empower people in that. And I'm specifically saying support and empowerment because when you talk about personal development and self-work, it's one of the areas that you need all the support that you could possibly get. Sometimes we almost feel like, no, man, grow up.
Yeah.
When you say to an adult, grow up, you're actually just charging them with some level of development.
Yeah.
So we opened Authentic Lifestyle particularly to support and empower people to be authentic and to be everything that God has created them to be. So that's what we are busy with, supporting, empowering in the area of personal development and self-work. So we do that in very many ways. I think you were saying it about just my journey from ministry to where I am now. And one of the things that I have learned in my very short period of life is that it's as you go, as things unfold in your life. You know, sometimes you almost want the whole thing to know, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? But it's when I begin to go. So in terms of what we're doing, I'll take you back as to what we started. Remember, there's this plan that God has given me to say, this is what you're going to do. But then you start, right? So we start, we open, we get a lot of clients. I think I mentioned last week that at the time that God gave me the dream in 2015, in my heart, and also that which we knew was counseling. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be a counselor.
Yes, the word, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I started now, I had had conversations, I had studied a little bit, and we had come to a place of coaching, life coaching, right? And that's what I went into to do. So when I'm talking support and empowerment, it's to just, and life coaching is just helping people navigate situations in life. So the thing with life coaching is before anything even happens to me, it's like everyone has a coach, Rato. So the greatest athlete needs a coach, you need someone who sees that which you don't see. So that's why the coach would say, would give a format. Even when people are in, he's given to say, we're playing 3-4-3. Don't kill me, soccer people. I don't even know if that's a form that can be played.
Yeah.
But he would now change that a little bit as he sees the direction of the game and all that. So that is the space that coaching is. You have someone walk through the doors and they say, this is where I'm at in my life. Please look from outside. Because as I'm busy, I probably miss certain things, or there's some things that I don't know. Look from outside and help me with ways to cope, ways to deal.
Direction
and all that. And then counseling on the other side, it's almost like, okay, this thing has happened and I need a way to deal with it. So in medicine, we always say prevention is better than cure. And I say that coaching is preventive. Counseling is a cure because I'm already sick. So I need you to help me.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm saying that is when I started off, I did a lot of counseling, right? And as I was studying and just equipping myself in the coaching space, counseling is what I knew. Remember, I was in ministry, I was an assistant pastor. So that's what I did, right? It's even as I was doing my Bible school, it's these courses that I did. But I believe also naturally I've been gifted in that area, exhortation and encouraging people. Sometimes we shy away from saying that.
No, you're really good, actually. I have to give you that because every time, you know, when Anna and I always have our own conversation, guys, every time I have a conversation with you, you're always giving me perspective. I'll tell you, you are very good at that, you know?
Thank you so much.
Even when we were speaking this morning, I'm like, oh, how did you know? Yeah, I literally looked at you, I'm like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. So you are very good at that, actually.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm bringing that forth. Because a lot of times we sit and we say, go study. But you need to be gifted. Also in the area. It works together. I studied accounting, but I don't think I'm very much gifted in it. That is something that is also, it works together. I don't think I'm passionate about it because there's that as well.
That, you need to, it needs to come from
it
inside.
It works together. Yeah. So for me, with the gifting, with the passion and with study, then I began this journey. So I did a lot of counseling, but you know, I realized we are dealing with so many issues because we are not equipped.
Mm.
And that's when coaching became very, such a huge thing for me to say, but let's take this route of equipping more than just dealing with the illness when it has already come.
Yeah.
When we look at it and we're thinking about just taking care of yourself, that before I even get sick, let me eat well, let me exercise, let me take care of this so that I don't need to take the pills too. So I think that's what became very apparent to me, that, you know, if, and nothing wrong with people, because sometimes, yes, I'm going through something and I need counseling. But then I think as I was going, like I'm saying that as you go, then you realize that actually, even this person who's coming in for counseling, if we coached, it would help in the long run.
That's it.
Because the thing with counseling also is I keep coming back. I remember one of my coaching clients, when we, a couple of them actually, when we finish our sessions, they're almost like,
Udan
one said to me that today is so heavy, because it would start about how are you feeling. And as she sat there, she said, I can't believe it's the last session. And we were talking, I said, but it's the last session of this program. It doesn't mean we can't see each other again.
We can have the next level.
But what I want to say is, it's been a while since they had to come back.
You've equipped them.
Because they are equipped.
Got you.
Right? But in the moment, you almost feel like, I need more of this. But as you go and you begin to practice, I mean, I miss them so much. I want my clients to come back.
Yeah.
But even as I meet them, even as I see the work that they're doing, and I think that's one of the most amazing things for me in terms of what I do, is when you've walked a journey with someone and you see them flourish and what you worked through together, and you see them become everything that God has created them to be. I think for me, it's the most fulfilling thing.
Yeah.
Yes, as I sit and we work and people get the aha moments, amazing, fulfilling.
Yeah.
But as I watch, and I think it's a thing for even athletes, coaches,
that
we have practiced this, we have done this in the locker room so many times. Now I watch you
do it.
Do it, you know. So we do a lot of coaching. We do counseling as well. So we have coaching for adults. We have programs that run... Well, like it really also depends on the need.
On the need. But how, what is the standard?
The minimum period that one has to go through coaching in our organization is 6 sessions. That's another thing that's very, very key, especially even with counseling, ne? That someone comes for one session and they feel that this thing doesn't work. We were just building trust.
Yeah.
I have not seen you.
It can work in one on the first.
You're 40 years old. We just spoke for 1 hour. It's like going to the doctor and you don't even take the meds. As you walk out of the doctor's office, you almost feel like it didn't even work.
Yeah.
Just go take the meds, you know?
It's a process.
It's a process. So 6 sessions is the minimum, but it depends on the need. So like I was saying, we have coaching programs for adults, and it's really centered around you as a person. So we don't do career coaching. I usually say that, but we do authenticity and personal development coaching, because everything flows from there.
Yes.
A lot of times.
Then you'll be able to
Navigate the career. And again, you can get a mentor in your career, or you can get help. But with so many people, what we've seen is when I have just dived into what is important to me, who am I? How have I been created to
be
my emotions, to... just so many things that we then talk about in our program. Now people begin to realize, actually, even in my career, this is happening because I am this. Maybe I'm in the wrong seat. Maybe I'm actually in the wrong seat and it's how I've been perceiving certain...
Mindset, maybe just needed a mindset shift.
So it accelerates that. And then the other thing that we're very passionate about is teenagers. So we have teenagers coaching. Very amazing bunch of people.
Yeah, I know. Those, I mean, look how you're lighting up just talking about them. Yeah, I know, they're really
amazing, and I feel like they're mostly misunderstood.
Yeah.
So through teenagers coaching, what we've seen is we then get a lot of parents coaching. Because a lot of...
You coach the parents.
The parents as well.
To know how to parent them.
Even also for themselves. Because sometimes a lot of what our teenagers are dealing with has everything to do with us. That's true. I have a teenage daughter myself.
Do they trigger you? What you're saying is they actually have probably trigger our inner child as well, and then we bleed on them. Or, yeah, something like
you
that.
You mean our teenagers?
Yeah.
We are just not equipped, or we are not okay to deal with another human being.
Especially with those type of emotions at that time. Yeah.
Especially in that age. Because remember, a baby, if they cry, you can beat them long enough to know that you give them a look and they keep quiet. But at that teenage, I'm also... there's that challenging thing that they challenge what you say. It's no longer because I say so.
They're challenging your thinking.
They're challenging. So you find that parents also realize that actually I've not been doing this right. I also need to work on myself.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for the sake of the teenager, but for me as
just
well.
Just a general approach to life.
Just a general approach to life. But it's because this teen across me has just highlighted that for me. So then we have a lot of that as well. And then another thing that we are very passionate about is relationships, marriage, interpersonal relationships. So we do that as well. We have marriage coaching as well.
We need to talk about that because you're not advertising it enough. Go. We need to talk about it. Can you please? Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll check. Okay. Marriage. Yeah.
So we do marriage counseling and marriage coaching. Like I said, a lot of times people walk into my office and they want counseling. But as we begin to talk, they realize... actually, maybe coaching will help us. So when we talk about marriage coaching, for instance, you realize that when you come in for marriage counseling, something is not right. So we sit there and we dwell on he said, she said. But when we begin to coach, we begin to look within and then get on together. So it's one of the things that we are really busy with. And then we're also quite busy with corporates. And like I said, as you start to go, certain things, if you ask me when I started, I didn't see myself working with corporates.
Yeah.
But it's also something that comes...
As you keep working. It keeps evolving. That's the thing with entrepreneurship is that when you start on your journey of entrepreneurship, you'll see everything starting to evolve, exactly what you need to be doing.
So we do corporates as well as we do our... Sometimes it's just from... and I'll talk about the empowerment events that we do. So remember I said we're support and an empowerment. So we have empowerment events also that we do. We'll do a vision boarding. We'll do a book review. And we've tried to really revolutionize our empowerment events. So we don't just come and do another talk or another thing.
Then we jump around. What is the revolution
Engagement, smaller groups, and also very outside the box. So through, let's say, a book review, we sit around and we all read the book. Because empowerment, a lot of times we feel like it's me coming to give you something to him. But for us, we always say everyone carries something.
So when you say book review, what do you mean? Do you bring a book and then we all read it? And what do you mean?
You know, Lerato, social media is such an amazing tool. I think a lot of times if we just learned to use it right.
It's a
very powerful tool. So our book reviews come from I love reading myself.
I know. We're in that together.
So how a lot of times I share what I read and then people are interested and we sit around the table and we say, come, let's read this book together in this period of time. And then we come and we sit around.
Oh, that's what you mean. I thought maybe for corporates you meant you're bringing
a book. I mixed them up. Corporates, I was just talking about empowerment events and I'll get to corporates the two tie.
Okay.
The two with the corporate tie in the sense that from that, the corporates look and they say, we want that for our staff. So that's how we've gotten our foot into the corporate. And I'm saying that because I want someone who's listening to realize there is work that you put in. Because someone sits there and almost feels like, I want to train corporates, I want to work. But if you look at it, it's because there's something that we've done that the corporates are interested in. There has to be value that you are bringing. There has to be something.
No, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's how they operate. They look at the value of your service and that's how they will engage you.
Yes. Yeah. So from our empowerment events, that's how we got our footing into the corporate, like I was saying to you, that it's not something that we thought we'd do, but people say, no, we want training from you. We want to talk emotional intelligence. We want to talk vision for our lives. We want to talk this, we want to do this through that.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's actually quite good because, you know, I was having this chat with, you know, Mother Masira, who was here, Mother Kay Masira, who's you know, a wellness coach as well. You know, she's more like what you do, but more on the spiritual and all that, what that she does. And we discussed how it's so interesting how, at least in our country, particularly in our country, we're evolving as a country and, you know, starting to realize the need, especially as leaders, the need for that for our employees, you know, those kind of empowerment sessions, you know, vision boarding, like you're saying, even the book review, they would even want to do that with you know, and it's so encouraging. I'm actually quite impressed and quite, I wouldn't say impressed, but I'm quite encouraged that we are actually opening up. Because with us, when we started, you know, when we started our business in 2016, I remember how tough it was to convince them on the financial literacy part. But, you know, they came about just busy warming up to understanding that it can't only be customer service training. You know, it can't only be what the company needs. It's also what does the employee need, you know, and what is affecting their productivity at the end of the day. And that's just their general wellness. We've really opened up as a country, and I'm really, really proud that we're there now. Yeah.
That's amazing. Is this thing that Brené Brown says to the effect of what you're saying, that at some point in our lives, leadership was very much through the brain.
Yeah.
So it was about what functions and what works. And now we're in an era where leadership is through the heart.
Yeah.
So we feel, we stop.
We've evolved.
We've evolved in that
as humans, yeah.
I think it's what the corporates are seeing now, that when we're leading through the brain, it was almost like leave your emotions by the door. When you get through here, it's work. But now we realize those emotions that are just left by the door are part of me.
And they can't be left at the door.
So I think more and more we have leaders who appreciate that. And like you're saying, it's really amazing. I believe it also helps them with the productivity. Because when you talk about self-work, when I've done work on myself, even as I come into the workplace, I know so many things that I would have never known if I didn't work on myself.
Yeah.
You know, our program talks so much about coexisting as well. That authenticity comes with a responsibility. That if you don't understand, if this is just who I am and this is just how I would do things, but you realize, no, but if this is who I am, then there is who Lerato is.
Yes.
How do
there's
we meet?
There's
Lerato too. How do we meet somewhere? How do we understand each other? If this is important to me, and I'm talking values as well, that a lot of us don't even know what is important to us. Or we know, but we don't even know how that affects our everyday life.
Absolutely, because as leaders, it's not about us all the time, you know, as much as this is you and who you, but what about, like saying, Lerato, who works for you? You know, I remember when I was working in corporate at one point, my boss was very, very good. I'll tell you that to a certain extent, but she was really good. I mean, I remember one time I was so frustrated, you know, with the work and everything. It just, and then she says to me, you know, the first thing to do in accounting, she's such a typical accountant. I was the one that used to untangle it for her in a more simplistic, not mathematical. She was very mathematical. So then she says to me, you know, one thing I like about you is you know how to explain concepts. You know, you can explain accounting in simple terms. Now I just want you to talk in numbers, but we're in numbers. And then she says to me, but one of the things that you have to learn, Lerato, is just accept this is the work. This is what is in front of us. And there's no other, because accounting is very, you know, so there's no other way of doing it. We can't, I know you're bored, because I was telling him, oh, this thing is just the same thing over and over and over, but this is what it is, you know. And sometimes you just need that. You need somebody with better experience and who says, I know your frustration, but this is what it is.
This is what it is.
Yeah. You know, and I was young, you know, and, and sometimes you just need that guidance, Hela, and you need as leaders to stop imposing and just look at this child just needs guidance. Yeah.
And we need also leaders who listen. I read this thing this morning that if as a leader you don't listen, you're going to have a team of people who have nothing to say.
Yeah, they'll just say, okay.
You know, and you are frustrated because it's almost like, now I have to come up with all the ideas. I have to.
Well, Are you listening?
Yeah. They're not listening, you know. So I think, so in the corporate space, that is how we've gotten foot on there. And then we also do empowerment events. I've spoken a little bit
about that. What does that mean by empowerment events?
Empowerment events is an event that you come out of and you feel like I have contributed, empowered someone,
yeah,
but also I have received something, right? So you go there to contribute because you matter,
yeah,
right? But more than anything, you also go there to learn. I believe we always learn from each other. So empowerment events is the events that are curated to empower or to just deposit something into the next person. And because we are so purpose-driven and passion-driven and...
Authentically driven.
driven, this deposit should be something that will fuel me to do something about my life.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I know we talked about this off camera. I always say to people that you define your success.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we sit for these empowerment events, a lot of people think, no, I'm going to go and make more money and this. For one person, they just need to go back. They're empowered to go back and sleep more.
For another person,
they're empowered to go back and overhaul their wardrobe. So with that, when you say, what do you mean by that? It means different things to different people. But it's a deposit and withdrawal kind of situation. Yeah. I bring something, you also take something from that. So we do those as well, where we, like I said, very different in that we have different empowerment events that
deposit into the individuals or the particular employees. And the reason why we keep mentioning corporate so much is because that's where the people are. That's where the masses are, basically. And once we have access to that, then we're able to help them. This is basically why we're mentioning why corporate is such a big deal in business and access. Besides making money, it's also just us changing the lives of where the many are. Tell me about your teenagers, because it's very imperative, because I know this is what is challenging us as parents right now in terms of not necessarily raising teenagers, but just raising children. You know, I was with my daughter yesterday. You know, funny enough, daughters are very different from boys. Yeah, boys don't talk, girls talk, and very emotional. You know, my daughter will just be crying. And I'm like, but what's wrong? And she doesn't know what's wrong. You know what I mean? My son and he's busy jumping. She's all over the place. We're like, what is he doing? You know, throwing things on top of the roof. You know, boys are very different. And boys are very, you know, what they want. Just like, mommy, I'm hungry. Okay. He goes and eats. Nana is, mommy, I'm hungry. I want milk. I want this. And I was like, girls are very emotional. Then she starts crying. And then you realize, no, this girl is not hungry. She just wants a hug. She wants attention, you know. And then I sat down with her and I started reading a book. You can see she's happy. We start tickling and all that. I found that, I don't know if you've realized that on your teenager, on your coaching for children, how different boys are. And not, they don't talk. You know, my son is not going to tell me I'm not feeling well. I'll just notice. He's not feeling well because he's not jumping around. He's not throwing anything. He's not breaking anything, you know. That's when I realized, okay, he's not okay. Or he'll go and sleep or something. But the girl will tell you, mommy, I'm sick, you know. I actually have a headache. So, you know, I think that the point I'm coming from and where I'm trying to take this is, you know, when you've grown up as a child who wasn't very much given a lot of attention, it's actually quite difficult. It's something that you have to learn to know how to pay attention to your child and say, okay, because if you haven't seen it, you won't know how to do it. And actually listen to your daughter and say, what's wrong, Nana? What's wrong, Tutsu? You know, and whatever. So I don't know how you are navigating that. And I loved when you said sometimes it's the parents that need the coaching.
100%.
You know, on how to actually deal with their kids. Amazing. And tell me how that is going and how you're going about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually to what you're saying, I'm thinking about it in two parts.
Yeah.
I'll speak first for the parent. Let me speak first for the child, actually, then I'll get to the parent.
Yeah.
So when we look at us raising our kids, because as much as we're working with teenagers, and I'll explain why we are there, it's because there's a lot of challenges there, but you'll see how these challenges there. So when you look at when you're raising your child, there's three steps that in a child, we're talking from birth to 18 years old, right? So there's three steps that we go through as parents. The first is, let's say, 1 to 5. From 1 to 5, what we are doing as parents, or what we should be doing, because half the time we don't know this, we need to be teaching our children, right? So we teach them holistically. We teach them how to speak up. We teach them how to do things around the house. We potty train them around that area. We're teaching them values and principles. We're teaching them how to speak.
Yeah.
You talk a little bit louder. Your child will speak a little bit louder. 1 to 5, very critical.
Yeah.
1 to 5, we're teaching. And a lot of times we don't know yet.
Yeah.
1 to 5.
And they copy, eh?
A lot. They copy.
Yeah, besides the talking, they're copying.
They're copying. 1 to 5, who are neglecting. Right? Because the child is so small, you can just give them the iPad. But we're teaching something. As I, it's, they want to talk and I give them the iPad, I just taught them something. We don't talk. We do something, distraction.
We distract ourselves from the conversation.
So 1 to 5, that's what we're busy with. And we need to grace ourselves as parents because we did not know. Well, for some of us, until I say this, we didn't know.
Yeah. No, right? We didn't, because that's
just
how we
doing our best.
Yeah, now we're just playing in this. Yeah.
Right? 1 to 5, we're teaching certain things, teaching how to make your bed, teaching how, but we're also teaching behavioral traits. And I'm talking about both to the boy child and the girl child. Right. Yes, there is genetically, we'll talk about that as well, the make of a person. And then 6 to 12, we begin to train.
Yeah.
And in the training, what are we doing? It's where we say, do as I do. So the training is almost like, I'm making your bed. This is how you make your bed. I'm giving an example. Training is, as I'm talking to this person and they look at me and they do just, so I'm doing for them to do. Because now I feel like, oh, my child is a little bit older. I want to start talking to them and they're almost confused because 1 to 5, we didn't talk much. What's going on? And then 12 to 18, we should be coaching. And that's where the challenge comes. Because coaching means I sit back and I watch you do.
And you just keep guiding.
And then what comes is what we've taught and what we've trained. And we don't like that because our children deflect us. That's how, that's where the challenge is. Why does my child talk back? They've seen me talk a certain way to someone else.
They've been copying, they've been watching.
I've taught, whether I liked it or not, whether I was intentional or not, because that's the difference. One person is intentional in their teaching. One person is intentional in their training. But we did not know.
And the training and the teaching not only comes from how what we are saying, but what we are
doing. What we're doing. Actually, the huge part lies in that.
I think that's a very important factor, that whether you know it or not, you are teaching.
You're teaching and then you're training.
By your actions.
So now at 12 to 18, I begin to coach. And you know what the challenge is? In coaching, I want to bring forth what I never taught or what I never trained.
Then you get shocked when Mwana speaks back. Or you're shocked why they're so... Because that's what you've been
doing. You're shocked why they're coming home late. But meanwhile, Mommy and Daddy have been coming home late and I've been watching that.
But you're coming home late. And they'll tell you, Sham, the teenagers, you, but you're coming home late.
So that's why for me, that specific group is important. But I feel like every child matters.
Every level matters.
But with this specific group, it's because, and that's why the parents then come for coaching. Because I need to then undo, if I could say
do
that.
Do you encourage the coaching for the parents?
We do.
Because I'm sure half the parents don't know that.
We do. Yeah. We do have a recommendation and a review with the parents in the end. But to answer also what you're saying about the boy child and the girl child.
Yeah.
A lot of our boy children are the way they are because in our teaching and in our training, we just did what we knew. We know men don't talk. We know men don't want to be stroked. But they are like that because that's what they were given.
That's what they were given.
They were not touched.
I hug my son. He loves being hugged. So he comes and I hug, but I hear you. They have not been given that. Yeah. And this is what also us as women have seen. How men were raised.
Right. Yes. So with that, what I'm saying is, why teenagers, for me, it's because the coaching is not going well. And whether you know it or not, as a parent in that age, you begin to coach. you need to cook. And the child is almost like, how?
You taught me when.
How? Yeah. My daughter has said it to me as well.
Yeah, wait.
Said, come, let's get in the kitchen, peel the potatoes. She's like, how do I do this thing? Like, you don't know how to peel the potatoes. Like, kring, kring.
And right now you're just like, how am I going to? Oh.
That's where you begin to get intentional.
Mm.
Right? So the teaching is for another parent who's intentional from that 6 to 12, you're in the kitchen with me. But then we get frustrated as parents in the coaching space because it's almost like you should know this thing. And it's like, but this is what you taught me.
Yeah,
this is what you trained
teach
me to do.
Yeah.
Or you did teach.
And they're not doing it.
But no. Remember, what you taught is not the results that you want. As your child slept and didn't make that bed, you were teaching them that it's okay.
Mm.
So there's something that you're teaching. There's something that you're training.
It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. What you mean is if they don't know how to peel a potato.
I taught them that you don't peel the potato. Auntie does it.
Mm.
I don't know if you get what
I mean. You know, it's so true. I have to share this because my daughter, she's 4. Mm. And the other day, because you know me, but... Please, my husband half the time is like, nope, I have done enough for the day, you know. And I'll be like, upstairs, can I have some coffee, please? You know, and the auntie will bring and then whatever.
Mm.
My daughter, auntie, can I have some milk, please? Oh, she calls my husband because I call my husband love. Can I have some milk? And I'm like.
And you might look at them and say, why are you? I'm just saying.
But what I am, fortunately with me, I'm a very conscious parent.
Because you're aware.
I'm aware. Mm. And I'm like, this chick is copying.
100%.
You know, and she's not learning this. And she's copying. But at the same time, you know, she also has a personality of her own. And the personality of her own could be also, she could be a bit of a bully. There I can see where she just can bully her brother and I have to nip it in the bud because the brother and then will just push her and then she falls and then she cries. Yes, she started it.
Mm.
But my point is when you say that the kids copy, guys, you know, they copy and I had to now start being conscious of it. You know, even when she instructs and I'm like, nope, you take the cup, take there. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Possibly I might have to also start doing things myself so that she starts realizing, no, girl.
100%.
Doesn't work like that.
That is the teaching.
Yeah.
That. So the teach, and sometimes we feel like you only teach the right principles.
Mm.
But we teach what we're teaching at any given time.
Doesn't matter what we're doing. Like, even the wrong principles.
We're teaching.
Yeah. Give me that. Give me an example of that one.
Exactly what you just said, babe.
Yeah. Exactly we're not noticing.
As you are calling auntie, you are teaching the child that if you want something, you call auntie to bring it.
And you know what, my friend? And I need us to dissect that because where do we draw the line? You know, in terms of, you know, I'm literally just sending auntie because I'm busy on my laptop. Do you get what I mean? Or whatever, because my office is upstairs. And I'm just like, auntie, can you please bring me water and coffee? And my daughter now, in that moment, thinks, oh, I can sit here and just call auntie. Why do we draw the line with that? You know what I mean? Mm. And I will say to her, no, you can't call auntie. You should go.
Mm. And that's a huge conflict.
Yeah, it's a huge conflict. What am I communicating? But I want to know then, what does one do in that moment?
You know, in the teaching and the training thing, there's also a comprehension thing.
Mm.
Firstly, your children should see you exercise the values that you're trying to instill in them.
Mm.
Somewhere, somehow, if you want them to do things themselves, they need to see you doing it.
Mm.
And like you're saying now, in terms of the work day where you're working, but
I'm not spoiled. I am spoiled, but I'm just saying.
Hello, no, but I'm saying in a 7-day week.
Mm.
There's somewhere, somehow, where your child needs to see the principles that you want instilled in them.
In them. What is the difference? One day you'll have your own auntie, but...
Yes, but you need to, even with your own auntie, if that's what you want to teach your child is independence, there has to see some level of independence on you.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? There's nothing wrong, but there's also nothing wrong with sometimes pushing out of yourself to intentionally... teach what you want.
What does that mean?
You know, a lot of times we say what we want.
Mm.
You will do it yourself. but we don't do it ourselves. So intentionally would be in a moment where I feel like I have to work, but I, because there's a principle that I want my kids to pick, I'm going to post this
To spend teach up.
This principle.
Well, Nana, let's go. Mommy's going to get water or not even necessarily Nana, let's go. She should see me
get
my own coffee.
100%. And we are talking getting your own thing, but there's also moral things that we teach. I've sat with a teenager who said to me, I cannot listen to my mom when she begins to talk to me about dating because she is dating a married man.
They're seeing, and how old? Oh, this is a teenager. So she definitely sees. Yeah. Oh my God. It's the leading by example. It's exactly the same thing, actually.
So what you've taught them, and you are struggling with a child who's hopping from one boy to another as a parent.
And you are
coming and you're saying, deal with this for me, please. But you've taught
them. You're not leading an example. Ooh.
You have trained them. That's what I'm saying. This training is mostly what... And I'm not saying this to... parents feel a certain kind of
way. No, but we have to self-introspect.
It's an awareness thing as well to say. 1 to 5, very critical.
Every age is so critical.
6 to 12, very critical. 12 to 18, we begin to say, my girl, you know you can tell me anything. No. When I was 6 years old and I was talking nonstop, you told me I talk too much. I should keep quiet.
Or give me the phone to look.
Oh, you gave me the phone. Now I'm in my room on my phone.
That's all I know.
You've taught me.
Yeah.
You've trained me in this
way. And they won't
way.
Necessarily say that, but that's exactly it.
This if they have saying. A platform, they would.
They will tell you, but this is you, mom. Yeah. What you're saying, hey.
You know what I mean. So actually in the question that you are asking in terms of what we do with these teams, firstly, of course, it's to instill the morals and the principles, but also more than anything to help them navigate. And it's not always the... children who have not been taught well. There's those who have been taught well or who are in the journey of that because we're not perfect as well. But they also have the challenges that they're faced with that they need coping skills around, that they need to know, how do I navigate this? How do I work through? They have conflict with themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, my daughter sometimes says, I don't know what's wrong. I am just not, I'm moody.
It's the hormones at that age.
And you need to help them to navigate that. To say, okay, why are we moody? Did something happen? Did this? But it's also taking genuine interest in them.
Absolutely.
In
and I think it also comes from understanding that. And, you know, thank God I had my... Because my mom was very old school, very traditional in the way that she didn't understand as a teenager you need to go for movies. And at the time... You know, I was in a group where we were going for movies, and thank God I had my sister-in-law. You know, my sister-in-law would be just like, yeah, she needs to go for movies. And she'll give me the money to go for the movies. And then she'll be like, but why is she acting like this? Because she's a teenager. You 100%. Know what I mean? Teenagers at that age, they're going to be moody. Or they're going to, it's the hormones speaking and you just need to support them. Navigate the emotions, like you're saying.
I think it becomes very challenging for the parents as well. Because this person... This is what parents say. They act like a child when they want to, but they also want to be an adult when they want to.
That's exactly what the stage is. They're children.
They are. They're actually, science says the brain of a person develops fully at age 25. And this is what I always say to my child when she's fighting with certain decisions and all that. I say, my child, your brain is not even fully developed. You think what you want right now is the right thing. And not in an imposing manner, but just in understanding that I'm just helping you to navigate.
Just understand that it's okay to feel like that.
It's okay. One of the things that I believe in as a parent for teenagers, and I encourage parents as well, is what we call family dating. It's one thing that your child is already dating at 13. You saying, I don't want to hear about boys from my child is not helping the situation.
Because that's the stage and you're going to go through.
And they're going to go through it. Yeah. So it's best with your direction and with your
aware
and helping them to navigate it. Mm. I sit with teenagers who are 16 who've been in horrible relationships at age 16.
Mm, already.
Because no one is there to guide them to say, no, but this boy is not good for you.
Mm.
You know, the boy is 17 and they've done such horrible things or vice versa. But if now you encourage and you guide, there's nothing wrong with you dating.
Yeah.
And these are some of the things that as parents, because of also culturally how we were raised.
Yes.
We feel like it's a no, I don't want to know.
Mm.
If you look at other cultures, and this is something also that I'm just navigating as well as I parent my own child.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in this area, but you realize there is also so much liberation in the light.
Mm.
Because if they go and do it in the darkness, there's so much bad that will come out of it.
Mm.
So when you look at other cultures, I've seen it growing up, 16-year-old, around the dinner table, there's wine there, and the kids can smell, sip.
Mm-mm.
These are the kids that will go out and will not come back home sloshed.
Mm.
There's light.
There's light on it.
There's light on it. And this is the kind of parenting that we try and encourage. And I'm not talking alcohol and this, but what you're saying is
you're just showing them how this is how we behave when we are doing. I hear you because I'll tell you what my husband, for instance, and his siblings, they have grown up knowing. And I remember their dad, when they were 18 years old, he starts exposing them to alcohol. He will have wine with them or have a beer with them. And, you know, I used to find it so fascinating. We used to school together at UB. He would just not be bothered to now be there, you know. And he was just like, no, I'm fine, you know. And it's like, two is fine for me, thank you, you know. And then I just got to find out when I got to know the dad, they actually raised them in a way that let's all have wine together, you know, at home.
Imagine.
And it's because now that they don't have to hide.
Imagine if we did that in all the principles that your children saw you apologize to your husband.
Yes.
Because I know we're talking in that area, but it applies.
You.
If your children saw you say to your husband, I am sorry. I did such and such a thing. If your children saw you fight fairly with your partner, and I'm not talking about throwing things and what, because then we shield our kids from this.
Then they're not going to know how to deal with conflict.
They get into relations and they don't know
how to deal
with conflict.
No, it's true, because there is where, you know, especially with our old school parents, where they're saying, oh, no, my kids have never seen us fight. But then how are they going to know how to navigate the conflict
in
the relationship?
How do they know?
And this is amazing. You know, funny enough, I have to say, give these examples because you're right. You know, you're very right in terms of my son loves cooking for me. You know, and he will just want to make me breakfast. And he loves service. So that's something I've realized, is that he likes serving people. He likes serving. And what I've realized, and what my husband will be just like, can I go bend himself? I'm like, no, he won't. It's fine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but you do this for me. So he's copying.
100%. So he's taught.
He's copying, yeah. He brings
trained.
The coffee. He's trained without him even.
Imagine now, babe, if we were intentional about it.
Yeah.
Imagine how.
And my husband was not intentional, by the way.
100%.
He just knows that you make breakfast for your wife. And he makes, and literally my son will be so happy bringing me breakfast in a tray and coffee. And he's just like, yeah. And he makes really good breakfast. He can cook bacon in 8.
100%.
Yeah.
So I think more than anything, I said I was going to come with it from the parent side as well.
If
we begin to realize and to accept and be aware that we are not perfect, we like to say that.
Mm.
And in saying I'm not perfect, it's also realizing then surely there are certain things that I don't do right.
Yeah.
That's when we'll begin to look within and to get help for ourselves.
For ourselves. And how best can I navigate this?
How can I be? And, you know, it's a very different topic altogether.
Yeah.
But a lot of parents that I sit with did not even plan to have the children that they are raising.
Mm. What do you mean by that? They didn't plan, as in the children were unplanned, or they didn't want the children, they just had children because of the standard
factors.
Way of doing things. Yeah.
Some got married, they knew this is the how it goes. I get married and I have children, but never really was their idea. You know, there's one person who's dying to have a child, and they already know how they would raise this child. But for some people, actually, it's an unplanned pregnancy.
Step-ins.
I was with this guy and I just... So with that already, it's a setback, having this child. And it's a place where we're very honest.
Yeah.
And we deal with that and we work on that.
And we tap onto, did you actually want this child?
Did you actually want this child? These are the conversations that
These
are real conversations.
You know, it's good that you say this, Nana, because there's also the aspect of, had I known. I was having this conversation with a friend that, had I known that this is what comes with having kids, I wouldn't have. You know, and it's also coming from you get married and then you're expected to have kids and then you have the kids and you actually think you want to have the kids. That's the thing. So how can one deal with that? How do you know? I want to ask this question in terms of, you know, because I always keep guiding, you know, I was even telling my camera guy that, you know, please really the kids thing, take your time. You know what I mean? It's until you feel ready. Mm. It's not a standard procedure. Mm. You know what I mean? I say this to my nieces. I say this to my nephews because I feel like then we don't get to, you know, impart because we didn't get that. Mm. I didn't get the take your time. Mm. I didn't get the, yo, it's crazy. You know what I mean? The realness. I mean, I know my niece sees how crazy it is, the school fees, that, you know, in all that. And I say to her, please do this when you feel ready. You know, so now I want us to navigate that, you know, for some who don't know that, you know what I mean? Who don't know that, you know, it's not the standard procedure. You don't have to get married if you don't want to. It does not measure any form of success for your life. You don't have to have kids if you don't want to. It does not measure any success for your life. It's your choice. And so can we just, let's navigate, let's talk about that and how to deal with that. Yeah.
I'll talk about that in two parts.
Yeah.
There's people who are already there. Mm. We have children. I, for one, I would like to share this. I had my child when I was 21.
Mm.
I wasn't married at the time.
Yeah.
And it was what it was.
It wasn't planned as well.
Yeah. It wasn't planned as well, right? So there's a place of making space and talking about it for what it is. Mm. I'm not saying I don't like my children.
I hear you.
Because sometimes that's the mistake. If you just
that's
say,
the message. That's the message. That, and it's not.
That's how we then withdraw. Yes. And we become these horrible parents. Because if I just spoke up and said, I'm tired. It's your children. You had them. So firstly, for those of us who already have work on ourselves.
Mm.
Accept and deal with it.
Have space for that. Yeah.
But also let's make space for each other.
Yeah. Right. What does that mean by speaking space for each other?
It just means if I come to you, Lerato, and I am exhausted of my children, you are just ready to listen and to accept that my own children that I birthed with whatever decision that I would have made can tire me.
Yeah. And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Well, so what you're saying is we should have room. And just, you know, create those safe spaces for each other.
And help each other. But also more than anything, if you find yourself in that, get help yourself.
Yeah.
Get yourself in safe spaces because where you can talk about it and be equipped for it.
Yeah.
Because then when I begin to get help, I realize I can actually get help with my children. I can ask my sister every now and then.
Mm.
I can fill myself up so that I show up as a better parent for my children. Mm. I can. But like you're saying, for those who are not there yet, let's also teach them.
Mm.
Let's have more conversations around what you just said for your nieces and everyone that you're saying. It's okay. It's not the standard procedure.
It's not the standard procedure.
It's about what you want.
It's not an SOP.
It's not an SOP. Mm. You know, someone was saying to me that some of these conversations, they would like me to have them with their mother.
Mm.
And I was saying, I understand what you're saying.
This is the teenager?
No. The mother to the...
Yeah.
Because remember, as we are talking, they also see themselves.
Mm.
We are talking for your child, but you begin to see yourself because you were not heard. Because that's what the teenagers are saying. I'm not seen. I'm not heard. Mm. I don't have... My voice is... I'm voiceless.
Mm.
But as a parent, I'm doing that because... I'm just continuing that which I have seen. So they were saying to me, I said, but... I don't have access to your mom right now. And she'd probably not even understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
It starts with you just recognizing and doing the work on yourself.
Absolutely. And you know why also that is important, Nana, is once you start healing, this is my experience, because I don't know if you also do this in terms of you not necessarily doing the psychological help, you do the coaching, and then the coach then leads you to to therapy? Do you also do that, where you realize this is very deep? This will need psychological therapy.
Yes, so now, actually, that's a very important thing. Yeah. And this is what I always say to my clients. What we deal with in our offices is mental health.
Mm.
We don't deal with mental illnesses. Mm. That is the difference between the two. Mm. So if you have psychological, let's say you're a pathological liar,
mm.
things that are deeper than, let's say, you it's an illness that you're mm. having. Because some of these conditions that we are just like, this person is such a narcissist, it's actually a health condition
that
we do, and we always say this, we are faith. Mm. So we deal with the well-being of your emotions, yeah. the well-being of what you're feeling and all that. So 100%
So what I wanted to get to was that once you deal with that, with whatever issues that you might have, that obviously maybe were caused by your parents and the way that you're upbringing, then you are also able to look at your parent with empathy, you know, with a different light that she just didn't know better, you know. I believe that's where also you come from. When you work on yourself, you're able to do better with the next generation, but you're also able to understand where your parent is coming from. And you also know how to draw the boundaries, healthy boundaries, knowing that, you know what, I know my mom or my dad is going to be toxic in this area and might affect my kids too. So you're going to need to draw the boundaries because you are coming from a healed perspective. 100%. And you know, your eyes have been opened.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times we need to always look within. It's not mm. an easy thing to do.
Mm. Sometimes you need help.
Sometimes you need help.
To look within.
To look within. You do.
Yeah.
Half the time you actually do need help to look within.
Yeah.
Because we've been wired to believe that we know it all.
Mm.
We've been wired to believe that it is them.
Mm. It's not you.
It's not you.
Always blame someone. So it's a wiring thing.
It's a wiring thing. Because when you look at your upbringing, you'd realize there was a lot of that.
Mm.
Right.
Because with all of us, you'll even realize with that cousins.
But half the time, you were the problem.
Mm.
Right. So then what do? You look for someone to pass that
to. Blame it to. Or maybe the problem was your mother, but she blamed you.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, maybe it was you, and then she blamed you to be.
And we do.
And then
that.
What do you do? You then blame somebody else.
What do we say about my 2000?
Mm.
We are just passing the blame to them.
No, I'm not.
Even when even when we were growing up, there was a thing of this generation 1, 2, 3.
Even Lord, now we're a generation that was challenging the narrative.
The blame was passed,
and hey, that is
the status quo now. So that, and sometimes we think passing the blame is very specific. In that generalizing, banna barili. Marriage is not working because banna barili.
Or just marriage is a scam. Oh, there's that.
We're just passing it somewhere.
Yeah, we're not dealing with.
We're not dealing with
the real core of issues.
It's always easier to pass it.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is it's time to start looking within. Sometimes. I think, you know, when I always have this conversation with I also have a sister-in-law that we always have this deep conversation about, sometimes noticing, I can't be doing that, but I notice it and I say, I'm going to deal with it. She's like, yeah, but not everybody notices or is willing to even look within and say, but you know what? I'm the problem here. Yeah, awareness. Or because of my upbringing, this is why I'm behaving this way, but I can correct it. Awareness.
Yes, it's a huge thing when we talk self-work and personal development. One of the greatest things is personal awareness.
How does one... I mean, I don't know how I can... Because I know I'm very, very self-aware. When I see myself do something, I'll be like, okay, yeah. Ne? You know, but tell me, how does, for somebody that has never gotten to a point where they can be self-aware of themselves, how does one get there? How does one become self-aware?
Work on yourself.
Mm.
When I'm talking about a place of understanding who you are,
yeah,
understanding what's important to you, I'm talking about values, I'm talking about your personality.
Yeah,
those are some of the steps that help you to be aware. Mm. So when we're talking about values, I'll just give an example that you need to know what your values are. You need to know what is important to you.
Mm.
So one of the things that is very important to me as a person, Gelinana, is connection.
Mm.
And this is something that I had to sit with someone to see what are my values.
So somebody helped you.
Somebody helped, and that's part of the work that we also do. So firstly, you need to want to grow as a person. So one of my values is connection, and I'll come back to that in a bit. And then my personality is one that is referred to, and this is because I went out somewhere to do that. So to answer your question, you need to constantly personally develop yourself.
Yes.
And there are centers, there are books, there's the internet has a world
of... So many resources.
We do coaching, so much that you can do. So my personality is one that is said to be very dominating, but also quite cautious. So I understand this about myself. And this helps
because
me
you
to
helped,
be away.
Because you got right? help.
So when I talk about my need for connection and being very important, then I go into offices where they want me to pitch in 5 minutes. And I walk out of that place very frustrated because I want to know how you're doing, what you ate last night.
then
but it's almost
can,
like
we
have 5 minutes for you. And I walk out of that and I'm feeling like
that's not
that
you.
Was the worst thing that has ever. But with awareness, I realize that's because I long for connection. That is awareness. And then I begin not to blame those people. Time is money for them. There's so many people who are pitching. Then I begin to do work in places where it makes space.
Yes. So what you, when you when they say you're going to make a 5-minute presentation, you know that's not your type of client.
That's not my type of client. Because I know also in the work that I do, if you're going to ask me to do a 5 minutes, you're going to quickly ask me to fix fix the problem, fix the people. So
it says a lot about it already.
It says a lot. And nothing wrong with that. There are people who flourish in that. I think my husband would. Because who does not want details? Get to the point. The people who flourish, who would
flourish.
And it's
okay.
And it's okay. But for me.
That's not you.
That's not me. If you look at Boo's, what is important to him.
Oh, Boo is a husband.
My husband.
Yes.
You'd realize that it's something that is not, that is, for me, I look at it like, babe. Like how? Why
how
would
do you function?
Sometimes someone tells him something and I ask a follow-up question. He's like, I didn't ask that.
That's who he is.
That's who he is, you know. But and then awareness also comes with me understanding that he's different,
and we don't impose,
and that's okay. So it starts.
But does
with
he
work.
Understand you want connection?
He understands, and that's where we meet each other somewhere.
Yeah.
That of course it's not just me always wanting connection. That sometimes I'd come and I'd lie there on him, and he's on his phone. Naturally, if he came and laid on me, I put my phone away.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him a bad person.
I get you. And just because he's not you.
It's just because. But there's a place where we learn each other. That you make space. If I come and you know in this time I want to connect, then you put. The but again, I can't always expect that of you.
Yeah, sometimes he also wants time to himself. As much as you're here.
But I just want to
get
these
you.
Cars.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, cars,
because the car.
I'm here. You get what I mean?
Yeah, but sometimes yeah, but I get you. I we also, have to make space for that.
But it's work that I've put in myself. And I was saying also in my personality, in being dominating and cautious, if I have not done work on myself, I'll be told, you're controlling. You always want things your way. And sometimes I walk into spaces and I realize, Nana, this is not your space. You're here to learn. And I sit there and I'm itchy. And I'm because naturally this is
because
who
you're
I
just
am.
Like, I need to talk. Yes.
But because I am aware, I realize I was saying to someone that actually this year on Women's Day, I want to go and be empowered somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do what I would usually
time,
be doing. I just want, and that's it comes with awareness because naturally, I would want to be the one on the other side.
So what you're
and
saying,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But awareness helps.
It helps you navigate. So what you're saying is just because you are this person, it also teaches you, kind of with coaching as well as counseling or therapies, that it should be able to also teach you that, you know what, as much as you are the dominating person, you want to ask questions, you want to, it's okay to sit back.
100%.
Read the room. You know, read the room.
5 minutes pitch, girl.
High level 5 minutes. Read the room. If you're not a 5 minutes pitch person, if they say you're going to make a 5 minutes pitch, then you know, oh, no, this is not definitely not me. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
you
not...
write it down and read it. Sometimes that's what I do. If I'm going to see someone, because again, you can't avoid certain things. So you write it down and you practice for it. I'm not saying then, because sometimes that's the mistake that we make with authenticity. We miss opportunities because you feel like, but this is just who I am. Mm,
too rigid.
Too rigid. Mm. Sometimes I have to push out of myself because, and I say this, that people will say, I don't like small talk. I love small talk because that's where connection begins. Mm. You get what I mean?
That's how some people start conversation.
That's how some people start connecting. But that's because connection is a big thing for me. Mm. So for people who actually don't like small talk, sometimes you have to push yourself in small talk.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So sometimes I do. I stand up and I have to talk about what I do instead of who I am. Such a huge disconnect
for me. In 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
I got you. So it gives you perspective. What you're saying is it opens your mind to, it there'll be 5 minutes presentations as much as you might not connect with it or whatever, but in, you can try and, you know, make something authentic in 5 minutes.
Awareness.
And then obviously once you're inside, awareness, once you're inside, then you'll be able to change them. Ooh.
A friend of mine. Sometimes you don't have to change them, babe. Sometimes you just walk and do what you have to do.
And be as impactful as you can be.
And be as impactful as you can be. Because sometimes also that's a heavy narrative that we place on ourselves.
Mm.
That I have been called to change the nations and what. Mm. And actually, that can become very detrimental. Because instead of being yourself, you're pushing this narrative of making an impact and making a change and this.
Yeah.
And people can tell.
Mm. People can tell what?
That you're not yourself.
No, obviously. Right. People are real. People they are can real. Pick who you're not being yourself.
That you're not.
No, but if you're called to change nations and you're being yourself, what you're saying, now we're talking about in a scenario where you're being yourself and you're changing, you're supposed to be changing lives. We're saying now you might be challenged by the other, but you still need to go in there and change
100%.
Lives. But you might be challenged to do a different approach.
A different,
You know, instead of you being there for an hour, do it for 30 minutes.
That's true.
You know, and you just have to find a way of doing it, but let's just get the message through.
100%.
Tell me, in your coaching, before you start coaching, do you say a prayer before you do it?
Always. Funny enough, you asked me that. I had one of my very difficult cases. The other time where I had a family counseling, it was more counseling, and these guys had lost a 9-month baby.
Aww.
Very sad. So they came as a family, and I asked God for strength. Mm. I asked, so one of the
for
things
guidance,
that
strength, yeah.
I am very open as to who I am as a child of God and all that, but I don't impose that.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying, it's one of those things that I know you plant a seed and God will do only what God can do.
Mm.
So hardly do I pray with people.
Yes, no, so no, no. I mean before you're alone. I mean alone, yeah.
But with this particular family, it was so heavy.
Mm. For you, yes.
The room, everyone.
Shame.
Right.
I can imagine, yeah.
And the only thing I knew to do was to pray.
In that moment.
And I looked at them and I said, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
You know, and they looked at me and they said, yes. And I prayed heaven down in that room.
Mm.
2-3 sessions down the line, I learned these people actually ministers, pastors in a church.
Mm.
And what I'm saying to that, when you're asking me about, do I pray? I want to say the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. There's some sessions that I walk into and I have not prayed.
Mm.
And that constantly, yes, I'm praying for my work. I'm praying for my clients. But there's some sessions that I walk into and I have not prayed.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some sessions that you know this kind, the Bible talks about it.
Jesus
was
you're like, the I need you,
We're asking him, how do you cast these demons? He said, this kind would go away only through prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
And in that session, it was that kind.
Yeah, that you needed.
I thought, this I can. 2-3 sessions, the lady said to me, I was very skeptical. The turning point for me was when you looked us in the eye and I knew I have to be here. But there are sessions where I would not ask to pray.
No, 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 not necessarily in the session, but before that?
Before, yes.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So that you can be able to change the lives of those people. Because, you know, I remember the most challenging one I had. One of my first biggest clients actually was BCL in Pigway. It was just right after what happened in terms of the mine closed down and I was called to come into the financial coaching, you know. I remember with my assistant, we used to pray before we went, because it was so heavy. The heaviness you're talking about, we had that in that training room. You know, those guys were looking at us like, what are we going to do?
Mm.
And they were just expecting me to bring some sort of solution for them, you know. And sure, I remember, you know, my assistant was like, what am I going to do? I was like, don't worry, I got this. Mm. Every morning on our way to the training center, we said a prayer. God, you have to be with us in that room. Yeah, you know, because
those are your people.
Those are your people. They need help. You know, I've got the principles. I've got, you know, the principles of what I'm going to teach them. But I need you. They need you. I need you to you know. I remember that. Yeah. So I do that with most of my trainers. But that one is the most. It's
100%.
Yeah, it was the heaviest. I remember, and also the emotion of it, because that sometimes I went out of the room after we're done training and I had to go to the bathroom and just cry, like, God, Jesus, what's going to happen to these poor people? It's, you know, true. Yeah, but yes, but yeah, that's basically what comes with the work. Yeah,
no, it does. And I think in that, I think you also realize, and I want to talk to my Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord,
yeah,
that we need to realize that we're the light of the world.
Yeah.
And wherever we are, we need to be that.
Yeah.
That sometimes we feel like, I need to get my pastor in for this one. Mm. Or sometimes that's what we are taught.
Mm.
Or sometimes we feel like, but you carry it in you.
You have it in you.
You have it in you. And in that, from just what you're saying, that you don't know the impact that you've had on those people.
Yep.
Healing, even that they needed beyond the money, more than anything.
Yes, that's exactly what I was
they
saying.
They needed to heal, you know. And as a child of God, where you are,
yeah,
Christ lives inside of you. And I think until and unless we stand firm on that
and stop delegating it
Delegating it or feeling like we're not enough or with this or that, where God has placed you. You're surrounded by people who he knows he has called you to.
Yeah.
You don't need a certain what. Because if you look at you and I, what did we go with?
Yeah.
That which we believe God has called us to.
Yes, absolutely. And he equips you. And he provides.
How much backing did you have?
Yeah, a lot.
From the heavens.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's just also realizing that where I'm at, God has called me. Yeah. And if it doesn't feel like it, then find that which God has called you to do.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
Firstly, it's just you believing yourself. I say this a lot.
Mm.
It is all within you.
Mm.
It has come forth so many times that this is what I should be doing. Mm. Believe it. Mm. Believe the dream that God has placed
in you. Don't doubt yourself.
Don't doubt. It's there for a reason.
What if you don't know it, Nana?
We don't know it because we silence it long enough.
Then how do we resuscitate the silence? The silence doing it. Like, for instance, I want to, the reason why I'm asking you that as we are about to come to the end of our interview is, the reason why I'm asking you this is, there's somebody out there saying, you know what, I know I have a gift, but I don't know what it is.
Mm.
Or there's the multi-gifted.
Mm.
Mm. You know, and how do you know what your gift is and how you are supposed to change the world? Mm. I'm in corporate right now and I'm in this department. I'm not feeling aligned. How do I know how
I'm
to navigate?
I'm going to be a little bit biased and say that person needs to come to our offices.
And this is where you get guidance.
Yeah, I'm being very straightforward and very biased with it because I believe there is gifts to the world that we need to tap into to help us. You know, we spoke about it when we were starting the mentality of me. I have to be the first. If you don't know it, you need someone to help you unleash it.
That's it. And you're not being biased because that's exactly what you do. That's what you do.
Because you have it inside of you.
Mm.
Something has happened along the way that numbed it. Mm. Something has happened along the way that had you doubt it. Something has, you know that you know.
You know that you know.
I promise you, a lot of times, my daughter, she's 14, and she has this pressure of knowing what she wants to do, so she'd come. So yesterday, actually, she says to her dad, Dad, Daddy, do I need physics to be an architect?
Mm.
So the dad says, I don't think quite. Says, that's why our roads are the way that they are, because you need to know where the road flows. You need physics.
She's asking those questions.
She's asking the, but there are certain things that she abbreviates towards. Because from there, the next question was, do I need to be an internal designer? An interior designer, sorry. So there's certain, as much as you feel like, is it this or is, then in the same breath, she asked about music as well. No, if she needed something to be an artist.
She's busy asking the questions.
But if you look at her, she's a creative. You get what I mean? So you know that you know that you know that you know.
And in terms of raising kids, I have to say this because I was reading someone, because I was asking God, God, please help me raise my kids according to your plan for them. And I was reading somewhere that you need to also ask God to help you guide them.
It's true.
You know, and because your role, because they have a purpose on this earth, your role is to guide them towards, so when they do it, they can fly.
100%.
So what you're saying is, in this, it's such a very, very important moment that you're sharing now, that a child will show you who they are. You have to pay attention.
100%.
They will ask the questions. They will, you'll see what they're also drawn to.
100. And we're using my daughter as an example. Something might happen along the way. She might not do well because we were saying she needs her math and whatever. And I could see her face. That could say to her, you're not a creative anymore. So we need to pay attention. And also we need to have people that we are accountable to, that you say to me, like you said to me earlier and affirmed when I said, I feel like I've been called to exhorting and caring. You said, you're actually really good at that.
Yeah, you are.
You get what I mean? So it's always there and you're always putting it out there. So you need to be surrounded by the right people, but also you need to want to do work on that. But deep down, sometimes you just don't know how to channel it, how to structure it, but you know. So if that, for instance, my daughter is asking around architect, around interior design and what, because I know it's the work I do, I can already tell this girl is a creative. And photography and stuff, and you're talking about multi-talented people. Also because of the awareness that we now know, and we know what this industry can do and that it's so vast, you also need to grow yourself, right? Because there is that which you carry, that which you know, that maybe for long it has been made quite small, that you're thinking, I just love doing something. I don't know what it could be. And someone's like, but nothing can come out of it. Surely this can be a passion. Surely this can be a purpose. If you think about me, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, speaking for a living was not a thing. You get what I mean?
Yeah, because it wasn't a thing then, you would have probably brushed it off and said it can't be, it doesn't pay the bills. Get you.
But you always know,
you just,
babe,
know. So sometimes what I'm getting from you is, if you don't know what it is that you're supposed to do, or you know, but you just don't know where to start, get help.
And
this is what the kind of work you do. Some, you help structure, or you help discover what
100%.
It is, and you have the tools that you use.
100%.
It's the same thing as, you're feeling sick. I'm not a doctor. I go to the doctor so that they can help me heal. You see, go to the people that will help you in whatever area there is in your life.
100%.
And just make it a habit. You know, that's what psychologists are for. If you are feeling sickly inside, if you're not feeling, go to therapy. You know, that's what they do. That's what they're trained to do. This is why God has given us brains and us be able to qualify for the things that you do. So once you know what you are, then you're able to study that thing and go and qualify for it. This 100%. Is basically what you're saying. And this is the work you do.
This is the work
in a nutshell.
That I do. We say it, authentic lifestyle, that it is all within you. Let us help you unleash
unleash your authenticity, basically. No, tell me something. What are you currently reading right now? You did mention that you're a reader. You love reading. I know you and I are always talking about books, and you're always reviewing books online as well. But what's your current read right now?
I'm reading a book called Educated. But before that, I read another book. That,
yes, you told me about. Yeah.
And I actually want to say it here.
Yes.
I hope it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
The book is called Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah.
Such an interesting book, and I put it on social media that I could not put the book down, but I'm not going to review it. And someone was asking me why, and I said, I am not aligned
with the message.
With the book. Not even the message, just the book. I can't relate. You know, for me, I pick books for different reasons. One, I see myself in the book. Another, I draw from the book.
Yes.
So with that book, I don't see myself.
And you're not drawing enough, so there's nothing you're like to it.
Yeah, but it's a very interesting
book. What you're saying is just still a page turner.
I could not put the book down.
It does not take the page turning away. Yeah.
But I'm reading a book currently. It's called Educated. I'm trying to remember who wrote that book. I can't remember. Mm. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm reading Educated at this moment. Mm. And it's actually someone's life story. It's a memoir. Mm. And it's a very interesting book.
Yeah.
I can't wait to finish it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, you know, Nana, I want to just say to you, thank you so much for coming. And today I've learned a lot about kids, especially about raising our kids and intentionality. Your message today is that we should be intentional at every stage of raising our kids. If this is challenging you, ask for help. You know, I loved that, the part that sometimes the parents need the help on how to raise their kids, and it's okay. Because, guys, we just know this is all we know, and it's okay to, you know, challenge ourselves and learn how to raise our kids. Go for therapy for that, go for coaching for that, and bring the kids along so that you can, do you end up being in a situation where now it's both the parent and the child in the same room?
We do.
Yeah.
We
do. So basically, this is basically the message that I was getting, you know, to you, from you, is being authentic is being present, you know, in that particular moment, you know, being present with yourself, self-reflect, self-introspect, self-awareness. Sometimes you don't know why you're not self-aware. You don't know how to be self-aware. Get coaching.
100%.
That. So let's make coaching, let's make therapy a thing, let's make, you know, counseling a thing, let's just make this thing a thing, guys, so that we can be able to get help in every area of our lives. You know, finding me and you are very aligned in terms of the work that we do, because I get a lot of this, so now I know where to refer, you know, because I have the psychologists, you know, I have contacts of psychologists, because sometimes as personal finance coaching, you know, we get to a brick wall, or I'll even notice it at the beginning that this one doesn't need me yet. You know what I mean? Yeah, not yet. You know, and I'm not going to get through to you unless you get that
first. I actually love what you're saying, because it's also having people's interests at heart as you work with people. Because you can push, and you know you're not going to be able to help the person because you want the money. I love that heart. That says they don't need me yet.
Not yet. Yeah. And I always say
that's
what
amazing.
We're going to do is not going to get through.
Because there's other things
that we have to deal with. And I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not a psychologist.
I love that.
So I would recommend that you go and see a psychologist. You know, and I'll give them numbers. You know, and then, you know, finally, a couple of them will be committed. Some maybe are not ready. But once they are, and the psychologist told me, Lotto, it's time for him to come. It's time for her to come now.
That's very good. I love that.
You know
that.
What I mean? Then they come, then we are able to help. So basically, it's good to create a whole network of the support system
that's amazing.
For our clients.
That's
you know?
True.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very
absolutely.
Good.
But thank you so much. I don't know if you have any parting ways for the viewer out there, and how we should, you know, take care of ourselves, take care of our children, take care of ourselves for our children and for ourselves, and live, you know, a beautiful life. Because basically what you just said today, this is how to live a beautiful life. Yeah.
I think I closed with this again last week, and I'll close with it again this week. We're the body, we're the soul, we're the spirit.
Yeah.
Let's live our lives holistically. Let's not put so much weight on one aspect of our lives and wonder why we're stagnant.
Yeah.
Holistic life is the one that my spirit is fed, that my soul is fed, that my physical body is also fed. And more than anything, realizing that life is endlessly beautiful. It doesn't happen. We create the lives that we want. It doesn't just happen.
You have to create it. You have to
create the moments. We create that which we want, and you have it in you. You have it in you. Just get up and make up your mind to begin to work on yourself. All the change that you want to see begins with you.
You just have to be aware of it.
You just have to be aware of
it. Thank
you. And again, just thank you so much for having me. This was a great honor and privilege. I don't take it for granted.
Yeah, you're doing amazing work. You're doing God's work.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I wish you all the best in what you do.
Thank you.
thank you for coming. All right, guys, that's all for now. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Bye for now.